It's really cool. I was
yesterday. It was funny. We were just sitting talking about the need. I had to get some oil for my car, and then at that second, brother here texted me that they had a sale on oil. So I just was kind of touched with it, because God just will do the little things to remind you of the bigger things. He'll remind you he's on it. He'll remind you that he's right there. You know what I'm saying? And if you have question marks or doubts or whatever's going on, he will remind you. But I want to go into, we're going to go into Romans 8. And I want to talk about today just about this. I think one of the most crucial things to know in understanding your Christian walk. Did you know that we come into the Lord? Obviously, there's things that we've heard a lot and we agree with them. But God will want to take knowledge to you. And he'll want to make it, he'll integrate it with your living, your actual life. It'll become a part of you, truth. And this is one of the most crucial things that I went through. And you can go through years. And I've said this story before to you. I remember one time going through a trial. And I was upset, okay? I was upset with something. Stuff was not going, you know, I wasn't comfortable. And I prayed for God to solve the problem. I prayed for God to take the tension away. And he spoke to me in a way that it really kind of reminded me, and it was so simple, but just like he said, your goal is to be comfortable without trouble, but my goal is to shape you into the image of Christ and my son. Those are two different goals. At any cost, the Lord's shaping you into the image of Christ. That's what he's working. The day you were born again, you know, but sometimes we want a lack of conflict. We want a lack of trial. We really just want to kind of live easy. Now, God will bring reprieves. He'll bring victories. He'll bring things in your life to where you're actually able to have peace, where you're actually able to see overcoming and victory. But the number one thing Jesus is always doing, Jesus is being formed in you by the Father. So think about this sometimes. You know, what is Christianity? What is it doing? When I get saved, what is really going on in the Father's mind? What is his working? I am amazed at the amount of worship songs that speak of God's love and speak of almost like God's the big sugar daddy in the sky. But I'm often amazed because God's agenda in us is shaping us into the image of Jesus and transforming us. It's right in Romans, it's right in the scripture, it's right there. So what we're getting sometimes is a tension in our life. And the tension is very simple. It's where the Lord is saying, you know what? I am shaping my son in you. In fact, that's really what matters the most, because as I change you and metamorphosize you into the image of Jesus, you will do the works of Jesus in this earth. That's it. See, I really believe the enemy would love to distract you. He would love to make you think that there is a different agenda with the Father. In fact, I love when people kind of say, you know, he just loves us. He just loves us. And that's absolutely true, because as he is shaping you into the image of the Son, and it says he is conforming, and the word they use is morphos in Greek, metamorphosis. As you are going through a personal metamorphosis, it's the very fact that he loves you, that he deals with you as a perfect father, and that his agenda is to shape the image of Christ in you. The tension comes because sometimes that is not our goal. Now, many people will say, I want to do the works of Jesus. I want to heal people. I want to preach and tell the truth to people, blah, 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 blah. But the fact of the matter is, to do the works of Jesus, he's shaping Jesus in you. They're not separate. You don't get one with the other. We will not do the works of the Son of God unless the Son of God is being formed in us. And that is part of God's main agenda. Now, I guarantee you I could write a book about this, and it wouldn't sell a lot, because God's agenda has been perverted, converted, changed. People have lied. Many Christians are really far from the truth about the actual agenda of God in our life. If you ask one Christian to say, what is the agenda of God in my life? They would say, he loves me, he loves me, he loves me, he wants to bless me. You would hear that more probably predominantly than any other reason if you did a quiz with Christians. What's God's agenda in your life? Well, he's leading me into this field of missions. Well, he's doing this calling of me. And some of these are very valid. In fact, many times they're all valid, but they miss the first point. Think about this. The minute you were born again, the Father began a metamorphosis, a process, not overnight, but he began to shape you and conform you, metamorphosize, transform you into the image of the Son. Everything, this precedes everything. Now here's, I want to explain this to you. We're going to read Romans 8:29. What if you have this straight in your mind? And you understand, Lord, your agenda for me is you are shaping me into the image of your Son. And we'll get into, there's a lot deeper with that very essence of that truth. There's something deeper. Lord, what are you doing in my life? And when you get this down, what begins to happen is, if you understand the agenda, number, and then the really my thing is, what does this do for you? Even me speaking this today, does it elevate you? Are you excited about God's agenda for you? Seriously. Because the minute I start talking about shaping, transforming, metamorphosis, conforming, you know, these are parts of God's process in you, his dealings with you. But everything you face depends upon the what you see it through, the filter you see it through. There is one truth, you know, you've heard there's one ring that leads them all in the famous movie, The Hobbit. There is really one truth that rules them all, and that truth is Jesus is being formed in you. Any other agenda is really silly because it's going to take that for you to find your ministry. It's going to take that as God desires you to live day to day. He is forming the Son of God in you. Therefore, the works of the Son of God will begin to appear and to be manifest. And I don't care what you're calling. I don't care where you live, what you think God is doing. First and foremost, the Son is being shaped in you. And with that, you will find all your other callings. Now, Romans 8:29, I've read it a million times, guys, to be honest with you. It says, for those whom he foreknew, he also predestined to become conformed to the image of his Son, so that he would be the firstborn among many brethren. Now, what I like, it says that for those whom he foreknew, he predestined to become, meaning God's idea, the agenda that he had for you existed, period. And it was far before you were born again. This was the agenda. He had destined you. You know, people talk about dreams. They talk about destiny. They talk about goals. And I'm good with all of that. But God's number one destiny for his people is to shape them into the image of his Son. Now, many times we could talk about this, and we Christians have this problem. We hear a bit of knowledge. We can say it. We basically understand it. And somehow we quickly move on to the next truth or new exciting thing. And the problem with this sometimes is this is a truth that is being performed in you today. It's been performed in you since you came to know Jesus. It's going to be performed in you tomorrow and the next day. And this is an ongoing thing. We've got to be careful of when we talk about some kind of truth that we glance it with our mind and don't have it to the depth of our understanding. We don't get it. We get it, but we don't get the fullness of it. And it hasn't really taken root in us. But this is a truth that takes root in you. It can change the way you live. It can also change the way you go through trouble. It can change the way you behave each day. But this has gone past all the time. I guarantee you, the Christian community, many are illiterate to the first and foremost agenda of God, which is to shape the Son in you. I know people, you could hear a message like this, it would bore them. Somehow they would think they've already got this. They're moving on to bigger truths, which is nonsense, because it is this core truth of God's agenda for you, to shape you into the image of Jesus. This matters more than anything, because without this, you're not going anywhere. Without this, your callings aren't taking off. Without this, you will not truly see the fullness of God in your life. So when you think about your callings, your destiny, your future, the thing that's going to guide all of that is going to be that you're being shaped into the image of Christ. And it is a supernatural transformation, and we'll get into that. But this precedes all of the dreams and destinies are dependent upon this first one being a success. You cannot sidestep, okay? You cannot sidestep this reality. But I want this to start sinking in you. And the reason I'm saying is that because oftentimes it's the agenda and the perception of the agenda of God in our lives and what God's doing that also causes Christians to come horribly short of where God's leading them. The priority, also the value of becoming like Jesus, is another thing that we must speak to. Because if it's true that this is God's agenda, that He's shaping the Son in you, and this is the first one that so many others lean on, is it true that if this is that important, then when you would go through things and you would deal with things in your life, would you go, all things are working for the good, which is another verse up, meaning for the good that God is shaping the Son in you. So when you would go through things, if the result is you being shaped into Jesus and Jesus being made manifest in you, then you would look at trials and go, it's worth it, it's worth it, it's worth it. But only if God's agenda is the higher priority in your life. Your priorities and your agenda, what you think you need to get hold of the most and where you think God is going, dictates how you see through trial, through successes, through failures. And again, as much as we run past these kind of truths and we do it quickly because we think we understand them, when quite frankly, we understand them a bit, but as far as these truths being in us and our priorities and how we see things. And I think it's important that we go, you know what, Lord? That's not my agenda at all. I want to be at peace. I want to have enough. I don't want to have to be short of this. I don't want to fight. I don't want people doing this to me. I don't want that. I just want to live a life of peace, God. Or I just want to do this. I don't want troubles in my life. I don't want trials in my life. And it's all right to come to the Lord and say, I realize that my agenda is conflicting with your agenda, and it's causing an emotional conflict in me as a Christian that is unhealthy because my agenda's off. I'm wanting the wrong thing. I believe the Lord honors truth, even when truth says, you know what, Lord, I realize that your agenda and mine sometimes are going at loggerheads. We are not agreeing. Well, you are God, and your agenda is perfect. Therefore, if I'm going to fight with it, the real fight really is going to go on is how long will it take for my priorities to be transformed as well as my being, to where what's most important is becoming like Jesus. The devil would love you to get caught into the minutiae, to other details. The devil would love you to even have other priorities that are biblical, but they're out of line with God's chief priority, and they throw you somewhere doing something that is useless. You know, many times when I watch Christians live their lives, myself included, there are times that trials will come up. And you know what I'm looking for to come out of them after years? I'm looking to see the character of Jesus supernaturally, naturally, practically, even pragmatically. I'm looking to see the person of Jesus manifested. When I see Christians that are Christians for years and years and years and something occurs and I see the opposite of Jesus, I'm disappointed only in that I know with all their studies, with all their words, with all their knowledge, God's agenda in them first and foremost was shaping His Son. And if the Son doesn't pop up at that moment, I'm going, what have you been doing for all your life of Christianity? Because Jesus should be popping up in you in a greater manifestation, and I'm seeing the opposite. What is wrong with this picture? Now, I'm not saying that to upset you or to put you down, because when the Lord came to me about my agenda versus His, I was a grown man, I was a minister already, I was far along in my Christianity. But this is so true for so many Christians. Are you satisfied, dissatisfied with your life? But then I would even say this to the Christians who are dissatisfied. Do you know what your life is according to God? And do you know what He wants for your life? And what is His chief priority? What is He doing right now, this moment that we are talking? It's interesting. We come into Christ and we come into a destiny already designed, and that the truth is He's going to shape Christ in you and transform you into the very image. That's what He starts doing. But that's with the supernatural life of Jesus becoming manifested more greatly, more greatly, more greatly. Many times we pick a few subjects that are Christian and say, well, I want to be a good Christian, so I'm going to do X, Y, and Z. And I'm going to do X, Y, and Z, and I'll be a better Christian. Jesus wants to be made manifest in you. And the more that He is made manifest, the works of Jesus will be seen. But the character of Jesus will also be seen. The person of Jesus will also be seen. The values and the priorities of Jesus will also be seen. When the Lord spoke that to my heart, He was reminding me of what's important and what He thinks about more than anything. And the Lord will do that. He will show you sometimes where your agenda is causing a conflict in your very being because it's not lined up with Him. He's doing something else and you're doing this. He wants this, you want that. And it's really important because often we say, Lord, you know, your will be done. Give me your heart. You know, many of the prayers that saints pray really are laced with this agenda. You can hear it. God has impregnated the hearts of His people. And even they're crying out. Sometimes they don't even realize a lot of it lines up with this agenda of shaping you into the image of Christ. Is it worth it? If you really believe your steps were ordained by the Lord, then the stuff you go through, He is either allowing for whatever reason. But through it, the beautiful thing, I call it the mess called life, when you know the Lord, is the mess that is shaping you into the Son of God that you are. And then ask yourself a secondary question. When He reveals this mixed agenda, what do you do with it? Do you change? Do you say, Father, I realize that I want this, this, and this, and I realize it's causing a conflict because you're doing this and I'm wanting this. They don't match up. Imagine if the greatest desire the Christian has is to have an easy life, no static, no trials, to claim victory even though they don't want to fight a war. Imagine if the greatest desire you have in Christ is just to be a moral person and to maybe go to church and that's about it, but not to be shaped into the image of Jesus. Imagine how different that is. As God reveals it, it's critically important that we ask Him for a supernatural transformation of priorities. I want to put something really straight. This isn't simply about you making a decision and trying harder because you will fail. This is about you opening your spirit to the Lord and asking for that renewing of your mind, where God begins to make that priority in your spirit, where you understand that the things that are going on, they are meant to shape you into the image of Christ. Jesus is the healer. Jesus is the deliverer. Jesus does the miracles. And as He is manifest in us, they too will start happening. But to do the works of Jesus, you are becoming the very person of Jesus in this earth. Don't ever separate the two, because again, this isn't superpower, comic superpower. This is not X-Men. This is about a relationship, a covenant you have entered into with the Father, and you are His Son. Now, when I said that in Romans 8:29, those whom He foreknew, He also predestined to become conformed to the image of His Son. I've explained this many times through the years, and it's very powerful. I could get a likeness of a president on a coin or a dollar, and there's different people that they put on U.S. money. And that's called an icon. It's an image. It's just an image. It's an imitation. When I see George Washington on a currency, it doesn't mean that they actually sewed a piece of George Washington into the currency. Number one, there wouldn't be enough of them to go around. Number two, that'd be bizarre. But when it talks about being conformed in the word iconos, there's actually it's a little variation in Greek. And what it means is we're being made into the image, that in the image, in the iconos, the imitation, there's actually a part of that actual thing. So when Jesus is, we are being shaped into the image, there's a supernatural Jesus is coming alive through us. And this is where this gets really cool, because Christians, many times we are content with imitating. But imitation doesn't do divine works. Copycatting doesn't do divine works. The living, breathing Son of God coming alive in you, that does works in power. We do this in the charismatic movement. We do it in the cessationist movement. There are many that are imitators. You know, Paul said, I want you to be imitators of me, even as I am of God. And people see that. They say, you see, it's good to just be an imitation. But if you actually understood that the Son of God was being made manifest through Paul, when he says, be an imitator of me, he's not talking about simple copy, a Xerox copy. He's not talking about something that looks just like it. But he's talking about a piece of the actual product. Meaning Jesus manifesting alive in him. See, there's a lot of stuff that goes in a Christian life. But we also understand that this is part of the process in the conforming and the metamorphosis of becoming the Son. This is really what's going on. It says that be conformed to the image of his son so that he would be the firstborn among many brethren. Why is that important, firstborn among many brethren? Because what the Lord is showing in this very verse, that the work that he did in Jesus, there would be more sons who would act like his only son. There would be many sons and daughters who would do the very works because they are now sons. And again, not just an imitation. What bothers me so much is, like I said, we love imitation. We see something cool, we imitate it. And because we imitate it, it's going to bring the same results as what we're imitating. Not necessarily. Because this is about a living Messiah, a living Jesus coming through you. Charismatics do this, non-charismatics do that. There's so much imitation without the real thing. And yet, what's being done in your spirit even today is the real thing is being expanded and grown in you. It's in your DNA. Jesus was the firstborn of many brethren. More brethren would come forth. More sons and daughters of God would come forth. And that shows not just a copy, but an expansion. And it shows the Son of God being made manifest. But again, I want to say this. This is connected to a living relationship with the Lord. This is connected to you entering the covenant. This is connected to you daily walking. You know, the body's content with imitation now without the actual life breathing into it all the time. They even excite themselves. They imitate things they've seen that are cool without any thought to the actual process that needs to go on inside of them. If you watch a brother, you watch a sister, and you like the results they're getting, many times when they're working in power and their miracles, Jesus is being metamorphosized. They are being shaped into the image of the Son. And the beauty is, he is doing that same work in you of conforming you into the image of Jesus. The point was, you'd have a billion Jesuses walking around in this earth, supernaturally doing the works of Jesus, which is unstoppable. The early church did it. The church through all the eras have did it. But I want you to think about this. Imagine seeing Jesus more greatly manifested, even by the trials you get through. Imagine seeing Jesus conformed in your very person, the pain that you've seen or the agony, as well as the victories. Imagine seeing and knowing that these things go about and they're happening for a reason. Think about this for a minute. Because again, what's it worth to you? If you know God's at work, if you know the love of God is on you, and he is moving you in a special way, and he is shaping Jesus, and even with a supernatural reaction, then think about it. Now he says in verse 30, those whom he predestined, he called. And these whom he called, think about this. He justified, and these whom he justified, he also glorified. This is powerful. This is the point where you start to understand that God has called you and he even wants the glory of the Father to shine in your life. But when you deal with things, why do we constantly say, Lord, I want to help me with this, Lord? And somehow, as we're praying for one thing, we focus on it, and somehow whether that thing happens the way we think it should, that becomes the basis of why we're either happy or sad, whether we feel God is alive or dead. When God says, I'm causing all things, I'm going to cause him to shape my son in you. And then you go, you know what? If the whole process of what's going on in my life, if Pastor Mike's life, if the process is that he wants to shape the son in me, and he definitely wants me to work in cooperation with that, he wants my agenda to be in harmony with his agenda, then, you know, it's interesting. I look at stuff I go through, and it's not a matter of saying, God, that's bad, just solve that. But it's a matter of saying, Father, the very things in my life are causing a metamorphosis to go on. And Lord, that's the most important thing, being conformed into the image of the Son. And I know that these things will be used to bring it out. And I will grow greatly. Then life doesn't become a series of successes and failures as we deem failure in our own mind. But life becomes a process. Life becomes a much bigger process than going from victory to defeat, happy to sad. We can almost be manic or bipolar in our spirituality because we base our objectives in such a way to where we're a yo-yo because that's the way our objectives are. If I say, you know, Lord, if you're with me, I won't have want. If you're with me, I won't have challenges. If you're with me, people won't ever attack me. If you're with me, this and this and this will happen. I've just set a pattern out of what I deem to be whether God's working or not. And I'm going to tell you something right now. Many Christians will stand before the Lord. They will have lived a life so far short of what he designed for them. They settled. They misperceived. They didn't understand the depth of what God was really doing. And the Lord will say, you know what? I was in charge of your life. You made me in charge of your life. But you had so many false pretenses about what it was, what it should be, how it should look. You came to me with what you thought was best. And I began to enact events in your life of what actually was best. You came to me, but your agenda got so distorted that you thought that the thing you wanted to do, I wanted to do the most, was just give you everything you wanted and bless you, and you'd never have a sad day, you'd never have a challenge. How wrong we would be. But there's a beauty to this, and I say this because even preaching this doesn't mean I'm an expert in it. And preaching it doesn't mean I'm doing it unless I'm actually doing it. That's the reality with words. It's funny. We can talk about powerful things, but understand we definitely need to have the more powerful dealings of God. I would say, too, that people that want to be used greatly by God will many times suffer losses, suffering, and grief and pain. Absolutely. Do you realize many of even the legitimate faith healers had huge physical problems? All of them. Not a one of them was free of that. Why was that? All of them had challenges with sickness, even deadly sickness. Do you realize that even their process, part of what they were going through, was part of the shaping? And as entry, you know, people often go, you know, I don't understand it because, you know, they prayed for others. And sometimes we just miss the whole point of the agenda of God going through the life. Things that are unpleasant are the devil. Things that we like are the blessings of God. Isn't that hysterical? Things that are unpleasant we call the devil. And things that make us happy, those are God. Is that not funny or what? Do you realize the early church, when the apostles, when Peter, when John, they were martyred, horrible deaths, and it was worth it. Why? Because the manifestation in Christ, they had seen it so thoroughly. And they also understood that sometimes the pain was part of the process. And even the end reward. The martyr's crown is the greatest crown to get. The greatest crown, the martyr's crown. I guarantee you 9 out of 10 Christians don't want anything to do with the martyr's crown. And I guarantee you many who say, I want to be used, I want to do the works of Jesus. And Jesus said, well, you will suffer. They would go, okay, well, I'll just do other works. Because that's the way it is. But again, it's so profound, it's so simple, but it doesn't mean it's so easy to get. Where's your agenda? When I read in Romans 8:28, we'll read there. And it puts it more in perspective because again, and we know that God causes all things to work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to His purpose. He didn't say, we know that God causes all things to be good. To work to good, and to work to what good? Well, he explains it. God causes all things to work towards this principle of shaping you into the image of His Son. God causes all things to work for the good of His agenda. In fact, it's interesting. Oftentimes, I've read this even as a new Christian, and actually even grammatically took it out of context again and again and again. I didn't say it, but I realized I was saying, all things work for good stuff. All things work, and they are good. Not all things work that could be absolutely, have trials and trials and trials and this and that, but for the good of shaping me into the image of Christ. For years, that never even dawned on me. But then you read Romans 8, and you look at 28, 29, 30, and you go, oh boy, it's actually self-affirmed. It's right in the Scripture. You know what I love? Verse 31 says, what then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who is against us? Again, God's got a process, and no one can stop His process in you but you. The devil, the forces of hell cannot. The whole world, if it gathered together against you, could not stop God's process and what He is doing. But again, within the context, you start to understand. If God's for me, and what is he for me for? God is for me to do the works that he desires. God is for me to cause the transformation that he has destined me to have go on. Again, we read these so open-ended. It just means God is for me. He'll solve the problem. God is for me. He'll make me happy. God is for me. This will work out just the way I thought it should. That's not what it's saying at all. God is for me in that he is performing his perfect will in me. He is for me and not against me. You know, often I hear guys preach about God is on our side, and a lot of times what they're actually preaching is God is on our side, helping us avoid unpleasantries, helping us to never be tried, helping us to never be martyred, helping us to... And it's so funny because we've turned many of the verses that truly explain one of the most profound transformative processes we are to go through, and they reduce it to mere positive news, or you don't worry, you'll win that fight simply. And it's sad because how shallow we can become. How shallow, how absolutely shallow we can become. But the beautiful thing about this is God has got great things, because nothing can separate us from the love of Christ. It says, but in all these things, verse 37, we overwhelmingly conquer through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, but any other thing will be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Now I want to tell you something. When Peter preached and 3,000 got saved, Peter and John, and 2,000, I mean, got saved, and you see thousands coming to the Lord, certainly these verses apply, that if God was for him, who could be against him? But when Peter was crucified upside down and gladly went to death for Jesus, these verses were still true and accurate. No one could separate Peter from the love of God through Christ Jesus, even when that love led him to his death. Think hard. This is a profound truth that we look at all the time. And it's interesting in our Western world, because we have adopted and rearranged the scriptures and we've syncretized them with the culture so much that sometimes we're saying they mean something that they don't even mean. Not even in any sense of the word. I love when the Lord tells one of the churches in Revelations, he says, be faithful 10 days, be faithful unto death, and I'll give you a crown of life. How many times in the modern gospel that we have trumped up and made something other than what it is, and we've bolstered it with facts that it doesn't have, would that have fit with anybody? If God said, you know, be faithful to death, brother, and God will give you the crown of life. A lot of people would say, well, that's all good, but I need the God who delivers me today out of this death. And that's not what the Lord said to him at all. Be faithful unto death. But that's where the scripture is at work, not failing in any sense of the word, where no one can separate us from the love of Christ. But isn't it interesting? Because the Christ that Peter knew, walked with him 3.5 years, was an apostle, saw so many amazing victories. The prison doors open. God was faithful to deliver. And when they crucified him upside down, God was faithful to deliver. It didn't change. The truth didn't change at all. It was the same wonderful truth demonstrated in two completely different situations. Think about this for a minute. James and John were killed. Remember, Herod killed them. And actually was going to kill Peter, and God delivered them. And there was the victory. But there was also the victory when he said, put me upside down and crucify me, because I'm not worthy to be crucified like my Lord is crucified. It's the same truth protecting him in both stories. Paul's ending agenda was simple. I know that he's going to bring me safely to his kingdom. Paul knew he was going to die. He knew he was going to be executed in Rome. He knew what was coming. I fought the good fight. I've kept the faith. In the future, there lays a crown for me. And all these verses, even that God used Paul to write in Romans, were alive and were kicking. And I love it. And Paul finally gets to a place. He said, it's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life I live by faith in the Son of God. And a lot of people don't understand that Paul had been going through a process since he saw the Lord on the road to Damascus many years earlier. And the Son of God was being shaped. He was being conformed into the image. And it's interesting, because as life went on, he hits that point to where that metamorphosis had become so large in him, it was no longer Paul. You couldn't recognize him, but it was Christ. Now, in closing, it's a really simple thing. As you are a believer, God's first agenda, He's shaping you into the image of Christ. And not just an imitation, but a real piece of the pie. As your life is going through and different things are happening, that's His agenda. That's His agenda. It'll both open prison doors and it can lead to martyrdom. It will both deliver and keep you to be faithful unto death. These aren't truths that seem... I've heard people say, it doesn't make sense because it says we're more than conquerors. And why did He just... He died, you know? And they're missing the whole point. There's a beauty to it, but I want to say this in closing. This is God's priority, and it's often that we can pray it. And it's often important to where we see, okay, I have a different agenda here. My aim is X, Y, and Z, but God's aim is, you know, A, B, and C. And our agendas, there's a tension because really, in a sense, what I even want, don't want to go through or what I don't want to deal with, this is part of the agenda of God because His goal is that Christ is formed in me, just as He told me. My goal is that Christ is formed in you, that you are conformed to the image of my Son. Sometimes your goal is just not to have conflict. And they will run into each other. But that's all right. God's agenda is greater than our agenda. And there are so many times we bow to it. We understand. Because I didn't say it was always pleasant. Lord, I realize I'm going through this thing. And that, you know, I have to do this. And I have to hold my faith. I can imagine Paul, Peter, these guys being put to death, given a chance to recant their faith. And I can think of it, this is, you know, I will honor you. I will be faithful unto death, Lord. I've seen prison doors open. I've seen amazing things. I grabbed that guy and said, what I have, I give you. Rise up in the name of Jesus. Think about all the amazing works the apostles saw. So many of them martyred, so brutally. They had seen these truths working. But that's where God's going in your life. Now, I don't answer the question today of what your calling is, missionary, worship leader, pastor, evangelist, teacher, but that's not the point. Those things fall into line when that first agenda is performed. A lot of people don't think this. In fact, a lot of people, they start chasing their callings without realizing that the most important thing is them being shaped into the image of Christ, and that their callings are actually contingent upon that first agenda of God. So they begin to pursue some kind of calling, but they don't realize the most important thing is Jesus being made manifest more greatly in their lives. So they're searching out other areas and they have to understand how the one connects to the other. Let me tell you something. Your premise in life dictates a lot of your emotions. It really does. And what you think you should get dictates what you consider success and failure. Absolutely. But we have to always ask ourselves, am I letting my mind be transformed, renewed, the spirit of my mind, am I being renewed? Is my perception proper? Are my goals proper? Are they lining up with God's goal? Because oftentimes we ask God, you know, what do you want me to do, God? But the first thing, Jesus, He's changing you to the image of His Son. And so much depends upon that. Because I've seen Christians that have studied, went to college, all kinds of scriptural topics. But years later, you would not see the Son of God manifested in them. You'd see religion. You'd see they could talk some of the talk. But really, the Son of God being formed in them, it was vacant. I've seen men of 20 years. When the time hit for Jesus to be made manifest, I saw flesh. I saw wrath, carnality. And let me explain something to you. God's agenda is working in you so that that is not the result years later. Now, I close with this. I believe God will take you wherever you're at. And if you are open, He will bring you where He wants to. And I don't care if a Christian lived 30 years in the dark about God's agenda and didn't read Romans and didn't understand it properly. I don't care because the day we come to the Lord and say, you know what? Change this in me. Line us up. Make my hopes and dreams, they have to be your hopes and dreams. Make my agenda in line with your agenda. And that way when I'm going through things, I'm thinking, God, you're forming the Son of God in me. You're conforming me to the image. You're transforming me. There's a metamorphosis going on. It's worth it. It's worth it. It's worth it. It's worth it. See, because depending on where you think you should be and what you should be doing and what God is doing in your spirit is dictating your happiness. Trust me on this. Why do you think the apostles were beat and they rejoiced? I don't know about you. They got a beating. They rejoiced. They rejoiced that they were considered, you know, they could be persecuted and beat for the name of Jesus. But that speaks a lot to their premise. What they thought was the end result, what they thought God's agenda. They said, what an honor it was. They were thrilled. And then they asked God to fill them with more. Yeah. technically saying, Lord, fill this place. You've heard the threats. And you could really pray and say, fill this place so we can have more power. And we know that the more power is demonstrated, we will be beat more. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. But that's exactly what they were doing. But their priorities were so different. And they knew God's agenda and they were happy with it. Because getting a hold of what God wanted in them was worth everything. Let's pray. Let's rise and pray today. The Father is good, is He not? The Father is good. Lord, we come before You today and You're shaping Christ in me and everyone in this sanctuary. That's what You're doing. You love every person in here. No one can separate them from Your love. We can walk away from it. We can not want to play a part in it. But no force on heaven or hell or on this earth can separate me from the love and what Your love does in me and what Your love wants for me. I pray even today as we deal with situations because, Lord, it isn't a matter of will I have trials? It's, you know, will I be strong in the trials? It's not a matter of will I ever suffer loss, but rather it's a matter of what will I do through the loss? Father, I think of Peter and raising a man up and miraculous healings. I think of the 2,000 saved at his first sermon. But I also read in the history of how he was crucified upside down and didn't think himself worthy to be crucified right side up because his Lord and Savior had been crucified in such a manner. And yet all those promises and truths were alive in Peter in the book of Acts as well as when he gave his life for You. Bless us today. Help us with this agenda thing. We get into a tension. I call it a tension. We can call it what we want. We can have a conflict where we want things the Father doesn't want. Help us to line up, Lord. Even as I many times, all Christians do, we many times spend our prayer time just asking You to make things more convenient. To asking You to make things where we don't have to trust You for everything. But You're a perfect Father and You love us. And it is the very reason, the very thing, the very love that You have for us is unquenchable, it's undeniable, it's unstoppable. It is working Your agenda in us. And You've promised to be with us every step of the way. That's a beautiful thing. You are there. You are there, Lord. Help us today. We live in a world where people talk about, you know, realizing Your desire is the greatest thing, the most important. What are Your hopes and dreams? But Lord, I have hopes and dreams. But I realized there were hopes and dreams I had even when I came to You that weren't Yours at all. And You gave me new hopes. You gave me new dreams with far greater satisfaction and a far greater peace. So bless us as we go today. Holy Spirit, touch every listener today. Every hearer of this word, touch us today. May we be the greatest ministers, the callings we have in our life, may they come about fully, but also that first work, because any ministry we do, we're going to do as sons and daughters of God. In fact, without that element, the Son of God is not going to be seen in the ministries we do. We might have a copy, we might be a Xerox copy, but we want the real thing. We don't want an imitation. We have to have the real thing. Bless us today. We go, give courage, give hope in the name of God. Above all names, in the name of Jesus. God bless every one of you.